Well, let's continue our second installment of the Christmas gifts. Matthew, the first chapter, the first verse 18 through 25. And these will be verses you've heard before. Today's a special day. Today's the second installment of This Is My Story. We're going to hear testimony today, and I think you're going to really enjoy it. I got to kind of live this story alongside of it, and it was exciting to see at the time, and it's even more exciting to see today. And so we're really excited about today. Let's read it together, shall we? Now, the birth of Jesus was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the prophet, by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin will be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. And Joseph awoke and Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him to do and took Mary as his wife. But he kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Well, we're going to talk a little bit about parenting unprepared. I love the story of Joseph. I really, really do. I can't imagine, if I had time to unpack the whole story around this, I can't imagine what it'd be like. Here's Joseph. He's been betrothed to Mary. They're planning to be married. And a little announcement comes to him that she's pregnant. This is truly an unplanned pregnancy. Can you imagine what this would be like? And inside the culture, the Jewish culture at the time, this was a cataclysmic announcement. To say that it would have been scary is a gross understatement. To say that it would have been difficult would be a gross understatement, because Joseph had to decide how he was going to handle this unplanned pregnancy, on top of Mary having to decide how she was going to handle this unplanned pregnancy. Not only was it unplanned, it was unprepared for. In the Jewish custom, the engagement could last up to a year, and then following the marriage, they would actually have a year's honeymoon. The husband would have an excuse. He could take the year off. They would have a place, and they would spend the first year kind of honeymooning. So you can imagine, if you have this long preparation for marriage and immediately after the marriage, but now you got a plan to be a dad. And not only a dad, but a dad to the Savior. And imagine dealing with all of the controversy. Can you imagine the things that were being said? Because this was unacceptable. This was unheard of. This was unprecedented. Here a young lady says, I'm pregnant. And everyone goes, okay, well, who's father? She goes, well, God, the Holy Spirit. Well, how can that be? Well, it is. It was unprecedented. It's never been seen before. It's not going to be seen since. It's an unprecedented event. And sometimes the unprecedented are the most difficult, because you have to receive them by faith. And Joseph was struggling with what to do. He knew what culture gave him the permission to do, and he knew what his human heart probably called him to do in this unprecedented thing. But God intervened and spoke with Joseph. And this is something we need to understand, is that God loves us so much that he allows us to voluntarily be obedient. Have you ever thought about that? Mary, you have found favor. And then Joseph. Did Joseph have the right to say no? I believe he did. But he didn't say no. You see, following Christ, being obedient to Christ, is voluntary. And my friends, If I can reiterate what I said earlier, if all we're ever known is by what we do not do, you see, let's be known by what we do. What do? We voluntarily love the Lord. We voluntarily know the Lord. We voluntarily serve the Lord. And yesterday, when I was watching you guys ringing the bells and things, if you go out, and I don't know if you can go out in the holiday season and not pass a red kettle, you can often tell a volunteer from a paid employee. Okay, now I'm not kicking anybody, right? But what I'm saying is a volunteer usually has a greater passion and enthusiasm. I've seen some bell ringers, and I've got a little bell ringer snob in me now. I know it's hard to believe. But I walk by, and I see some of these people, and I'm like, hey, let me step that up. You know, yeah, I do. I do. I mean, I have my own apron, and I'm a snob. I am. What can I say? At least we're all being honest. But there's something about a voluntary act of kindness, love, and sacrifice that's unlike anything else. Because you see, gifts aren't gifts if they're expected. Gifts aren't gifts if they're demanded. Kiddos, let me just tell you this. If you really want some sweet gifts, don't expect anything. Your parents will fall all over themselves trying to give you something. Mary said yes. And Joseph, in the midst of all that was going on, all of the uncertainty, all of the fear, all of the inadequacy, all of the unknown, if you are a parent, you understand what that means. He said yes. You see, God is not looking for those that are fully equipped. God is looking for those who are fully willing to simply volunteer. Because God will put in you what He needs out of you. Joseph, in his own power and his own abilities, was completely inadequate for the job. But when you say yes to Jesus, God will always give you what you need. And then lastly, Joseph was vindicated. You know, there's times in life we do things or we don't do things, and we often wonder if it's really going to make a difference. Will we be vindicated in the end? You know, you may live your faith, and you may have coworkers or family members, and they just don't get it. And as a matter of fact, they might even be in opposition to you. And sometimes you wonder if it's even worth it. Well, Joseph was vindicated. Why? Because Jesus finished the race. Now, we don't hear of Joseph as much, and obviously Joseph isn't as highly regarded as Mary. But my friends, Joseph answered the call, and he was faithful to the task. And yes, he put fingerprints even on the Son of God. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing when our minds and our hearts and our feet stand ready to answer the call whenever that time calls. And so that brings us to today. Today's story is a wonderful story of unplanned parenting. Some of you guys will know them, some of you don't. We're big enough now where not everyone really knows everybody. So if we would, Brian, come on up. Welcome, Brian Goodwin. Brian is the very fortunate husband of Dr. Sandy Goodwin, a veterinarian, all-around good person. And so this story, how long ago did this story occur?
6 years ago.
Good grief. Okay, 6 years ago. Okay, so we'll kind of set the picture. You and Sandy had talked about kiddos, but at 6 years ago hadn't had kiddos. And you discussed, is adoption an option? Or you were weighing your options, and you guys had kind of come kind of to a place of decision.
Yeah, actually, it was an impasse kind of. We'd been married approximately 15, 16 years by then, and Sandy dearly, dearly wanted children. First of all, how many of you out there believe in miracles? And how many of you can honestly say without doubt you've lived a miracle?
Hold it up just a little bit higher.
Okay.
For your mom.
All right. I'll tell you this. First of all, I feel kind of set up this morning. I come in and the women choir sings a beautiful song, and then we get Chris hitting every note in the musical scale and stuff, and the band's great. And so now I'm going down. Y'all get stuck with me at the end here, so it's kind of bad.
And you're wearing Longhorn orange.
Well, it's not burnt, so we're good. It may be burnt after that statement. So, but I can tell you we had kind of met an impasse because I was truly a sinner saved by grace. And I don't deserve any of the things that I've received. And so my heart was hardened against adoption. We'd been through several rounds of in vitro fertilization. Sandy wanted children more than anything in the world, and I was to the opinion if they weren't going to be ours, then we were fine without them. And God will put you where you're supposed to be, whether you want to listen to it or not. And never in my life had I been where I wanted to be. I was in the business I shouldn't have been in. I was miserable every day. Heart attack was just a second away. And so God started putting things in my life to change my career and change me. And so it was 2010, and I never missed work from being sick. My opinion is you can be sick at work as easy as you can be sick at home. And so I leave for work that morning, and I am deathly ill. And God's saying, well, let me back up. We had lost contact with the family about, 8 or so years before. And we're driving home from a vacation, and I say to Sandy, you know, God's been putting this on my heart to find this family and reach out to them. And she says, well, I'm getting the same feelings. And now they've got this sometimes great, sometimes bad thing, Facebook. Anybody know Facebook out there? And so I reach out to Facebook, and I find this family, a single mom and two little girls last time we'd seen them. And so after about 6 months or so, we all three start talking on the phone and start reconnecting and all. And so that day I leave for work sick, and the closer I get to work sick, God keeps telling me, you need to stop and call them. You need to stop and call. God, I don't have time for that. I've got to work. I'm sick. The more I refused him, the sicker I got. I went into my office, told my secretary, hold all calls, and just continued to get sicker and sicker. So finally I head home. I said, I got to go home. And God's like, you need to stop and call after I get well. So finally I just said, okay, God, I'll call as soon as I get home. I picked up the phone. Instantly, I'm no longer sick. And I pick up the phone, and I get the mother of a 17-year-old and a 13-year-old at that time. And the mom is breaking down and bawling and crying hysterically. And I said, what's going on? And she said, we found out that my 13-year-old's pregnant. This is one of the times when God spoke and I didn't. Well, what are you going to do? And she says, we're going to find a good Christian home for this child. And I said, without being too upfront, can we be added to that list of consideration? And her answer to me was, you'd do that for us. And my question to her was, you'd do that for us. And so they put us on the list. Well, I have to break it to my wife somehow that we're at least on a list, right? So I pick up the phone. I call her at work. And she's like, what are you doing calling me from home? Anyway, I said, I just put us on a list to adopt a child. Well, my wife, knowing I was against adoption, thought I was joking with her and hung up the phone on me. Yeah. So she called back later and said, okay, I'm in my office now. What are you talking about? And I told her what had happened. And we start setting the road stones in way to get to where we needed to go. without even knowing if we were going to be chosen or not. We met with the family. They chose us. Thank the Lord. They chose us. And so then we start trying to put our finances in place, right? Because I'm closing down my businesses and I'm going to be going to school full time. And I go see a lawyer. Well, I don't know if anybody knows much about adoption. It's a long, drawn-out process and not real inexpensive. So I talked to the lawyers that day. I find out what I have to do and make another mistake. That night, I break it to my wife how much it's going to cost to adopt a child. And this is by no means the biggest miracle of the whole situation, but it's the one that proved to me that it was a miracle without a doubt. Sandy cried herself to sleep that night. The next day, she gets up to go to work, and she calls me on the cell phone. She says, "Call and tell them we can't do it. There's no way in the world we can come up with that amount of money." Well, here comes me being human again and putting a time frame on God. And I said, "Well, let's give God an hour because he can do things that there's no way we can do." Right? An hour. Yeah. Well, 46 minutes later, my phone rings. And I look down at the phone, and I get sick again. It's my accountant calling. And so I pick up the phone, and I say, "Bruce, any day but today, any day but right now, why are you calling me right now?" "Well, Brian, why do you assume it's bad luck?" "Well, Bruce, you're an accountant. What else is it going to be?" And he said, "Well, Brian, you prepared for the year, and you paid so much estimated tax that you're going to get it back." Amen. And not only that, I've got power of attorney. I've already requested it, and it'll be in your bank account on Thursday, which is when it was due to be at the attorney's office. And I said, "Well, Bruce, can you give me the amount?" It was within $100 of the amount we needed for the adoption. Well, that's when I picked up the phone to call my wife. And she never had a doubt. Unlike me, I doubted. So then we start proceeding. And we go and we have our fingerprints made. And they, when you're adopting a child, you go through the ringer. I mean, they search everything about you. And so we fill out the fingerprints. We give them to our attorney. And on December 26th, 2010, myself, my mother, and my dad head up north. It's snowing once we get to Tennessee. Every motorhome you see is coming south, and we're headed north. We proceed to get stopped by three or four different police officers wanting to know why we're in a motorhome headed north in the winter on icy streets. And so finally we're, not to offend any police officers here, but when you get up north, if you're a police officer, you can take off all the holidays. We go there and we're trying. I get a phone call and they said, "You've got to find a place to get fingerprinted because we've lost your fingerprints and the FBI needs a copy of your fingerprints." And the FBI has a 6-month backlog on approving adoptions. I pulled into every police station in Ohio trying to get my fingerprints taken. And they said, "We have no one to fingerprint you." And so I start making plans to spend the next 6 months in Pennsylvania after the adoption because they won't let you leave the state. And so I start making plans, preparing when I should have just sat back and said, "These are miracles. God's paved the way. I just have to do what he does." So about 3 days later, after obsessing and worrying about this, I get a phone call. They had found the fingerprints that they had lost. And so they're sending those to the FBI with a rush, and the FBI has approved us already. Once again, a miracle. And so by this time, it's getting late. It's December 31st. Sandy is supposed to be there December 3rd when the baby's planned. I get a phone call. The mother's going into labor. Okay? We can handle this. So we drive from Baltimore to the town where the baby's planned to be born. And the greatest miracle of all on January 1st, 2011, Taylan Goodwin, or Monkey as I call her, was born, and she's been my miracle ever since.
Amen. Amen.
And the funny thing about it is everybody tells us, she looks like you, Brian, or she looks like you, Sandy, or Lord help us, Brian, she acts just like you, you know, that kind of stuff. And but, you know, it's amazing what God can do. And some of those songs, I wasn't equipped to be a father. Probably am not today. But God gives me the tools I need. And so far it's worked pretty good. Now, a lot of that's, most of that's her mom, though. So, and that's where we have to go, because whatever's going on in your life is God's plan if you let it be. That's our story.
So how's it changed y'all's life?
Let me count the ways. There's no comparison. I hope that I'm a better person because of it. Because Lord knows I needed to be a better person.
Well, this morning on your Facebook, you posted that you used to really enjoy Christmas, but now that you have a child.
Oh, it's totally different now. I mean, Christmas in the eyes of a child is unbelievable. And it woke me up to how selfish I had always been. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing wrong with being woken to how selfish one can be. So.
Right, right.
This morning, Sandy said, I forgot my Kleenex. And I said, well, we'll get through it. And she said, no, I meant for you. And I said, well, I get through it. I tell this story every time, any time I can. I caught the waitress at the Cracker Barrel yesterday. She heard the story. Every time I can tell the story, I tell the story. And sitting here now, that's kind of selfish. That's not the story I need to be telling, right? I need to be telling the Lord of the story of Jesus. And I'll get there.
Yeah, yeah. I just forgot what I was going to ask you. It was good, though. It was very profound.
I believe you.
It was, yeah. Let me ask you this. Do you ever play the what if? What if that initial response to that phone call had been what you had always purposed it to be? Do you ever play that?
Never.
Okay.
Like I said, looking back, there's all kinds of miracles in my life. The things I used to do, I said all the way up until my 27th birthday, I'd never live to be 27. And I was married at the time. We went to bed that night, and in the middle of the night, Sandy woke me up screaming. I said, what's wrong with you? She said, well, you said you wouldn't make 27th. At 27, it's the eve of your birthday, and I look over, and you're sleeping like this.
He was just being ready.
Even she believed I wouldn't make 27, so... So I used to be a wild and crazy guy and do a bunch of stuff that I shouldn't have done. And but this miracle, I sat back and look, and especially what I do for a living now, and I say things and I'm like, where did that come from? And every day I pray before I go to group. Lord, help me say the things that they need to hear that I'm not equipped for. And so, no, I don't answer that. I don't ask myself that question, Jimmy, because I've got the perfect life now. Mm-hmm. And without her, I don't know where I would be or what I would do.
So your words of encouragement to parents to be, well, is what would you say to parents to be?
It's God's plan. And make the most of it, because I promise you, on that day when I gave in and made that phone call, this life was the farthest thing away from what I ever thought it would be, ever. 6 years ago, if you told me I'd be in the front of a church crowd with a microphone in my face, in the building that we're in, there's no way on earth that I would have believed it.
So you want to do one more courageous thing?
Sure.
All right. Jacqueline and Mitch, I believe we have a new baby coming. Tuesday? Thursday?
Tuesday.
Okay. So what I'd like to ask you to consider doing, if you could, will you guys come up here and let us pray over you?
Sure. A good Capricorn baby. My birthday's December 27th.
For those of you guys that may not know, this is Jacqueline and Mitch. Jacqueline and I have known each other a long, long time. And then Mitch and I met the day he showed up at the old campus in his climbing gear and couldn't hardly walk in the door. And so they met and dated and married. And, you know, he gave us a little drama a little while ago with a knee injury, but we're excited to see you walking. I didn't even think about walking upstairs, but you did good. And so, first baby. Excited?
Nervous.
Nervous? It's good to be nervous. So, what I'd like for us to do, just in honor of the Lord and in celebration of His goodness and provision, is we're going to pray. And if you'll just lead us in a word of prayer over this new parents to be. Shall we pray?
Dear Lord, please bless this beautiful couple, Lord, and bless their unborn child. And let this child be as much a blessing to this family as the child you gave me has been to mine, Lord. Help them to bring the child up in your way, and help them to understand that the trials along the way with the child are part of the plan, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand, shall we? Thank you, guys. Brian's up here offering counseling. I need to talk to you. You know, you hear me say it a lot, and I don't know why we, the church, have gotten away from it a little bit, but your personal testimony is one of the most powerful tools you have in fingerprinting people for Christ. And so I just encourage you, share your story, because you never know when someone's going to connect with you in a way that no one else can. And Brian, Sandy, thank you so much. I remember those days. I remember that, Jimmy, we don't have the money. I remember it very well. And you have a beautiful daughter. And we're excited to be a part of your parenting of that beautiful girl. Well, I hope that you guys have a great week today. Great week today. Sometimes a day's like a week, right? Yeah, so. But anyway. We have our annual business meeting this afternoon at 4 o'clock here on campus, and if you're able to make that, that'd be exceptional. Wednesday evening, actually, I have something here for you before we get there. Your action step this week is ask the Lord to guide you to His will for your life and to help you be prepared to say yes when your opportunity to be an unexpected hero for Jesus arrives. God will use you. If you're a usable vessel and you're simply willing to say yes, be prepared, yes, and be used.